Hey, so we're living in a time today where it seems like everything in life seems to be unsecure, like there is no guarantee. And in the wake of the 2008 recession, this is just one example, there was 7 million people who lost their homes. There was 8 million people who lost their jobs. We're really in a time where people are trying to find some sort of foundation, some sort of security. And it seems like everywhere we look, it's like, where does that come from? Where do we find that? Even in just 2018, as you guys know, there's been 23 different school shootings, which is a tragedy. There was even one this week in Indiana, last week, a terrible one in Texas. It's like, what's happening, right? Like, what's going on in our world? Is my life even guaranteed? Is my job guaranteed? Is my family guaranteed? Like, the things that we place our hope in and try to find security in, it seems like a lot of times they're just being stripped away from us. And the reason we feel unsecure or feel like there is really no guarantee for all these things is because that's the truth. Like, we are living in a time where none of those things are guaranteed. And the reality is, Jesus never promised us these things. The things that we try to find security in and try to place our hope in, Jesus never promised that. He never promised you a retirement plan. He never promised you job security or a mortgage payment or a safe life or even tomorrow, like Moses was saying. All of his friends just like thought they'd be there the next day and then they weren't. Jesus didn't promise us any of that. And it actually says in the book of James chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a time and then vanishes away." So the reality is we don't have any security in anything on this earth. We don't have job security. We don't have financial security. We don't have family security. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The reality is all we have today, but Jesus didn't promise those things that we place our hope in. He promised us something far greater though. There is good news. The thing that Jesus promised us through his Holy Spirit is far greater than all these temporary things that we try to place our hope in. He's promised us two things. Number one, salvation. And number two, an eternal inheritance in him, which is far greater than anything we can find our hope is in on this earth. And so Ephesians chapter 1, I want to talk today about true security, about true hope, about the true thing, the one and only thing that does matter in this life that we can find our hope in. And so if you look down at verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1, it says this. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, "In him, that is Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." So Paul says something so beautiful. He says, in him, that is in Jesus, the moment that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of truth, and believed in it, when you heard the gospel and believed in the gospel, he says something amazing. He says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who actually is the guarantee of an eternal inheritance that God has prepared for us. There's two things I want to talk about this morning. The seal, that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. What is that? What does that mean? And the guarantee of our inheritance. How do we know it's a guarantee? How can we place our hope in that? So what does this mean? Again, we're in a series right now on the Holy Spirit, and I feel this is so important for us to get a little more theology around what it means to be sealed by the person of the Holy Spirit. So he says, the moment that you place your faith in Jesus, when you heard the gospel and believed in it, he says, at that moment, the moment of salvation, the moment you believe the gospel, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, this word sealed in the Greek language, it's actually in the aorist tense, which means it's a past completed action. This is something that is already done. It's also, I'm not trying to get too technical, it's also called, it's spoken of in the passive mood, which means we, the subject, believers who believed in the gospel, we are passive in the action. God himself acted. God himself is the one who did this. He acted upon us. He gave us his Holy Spirit. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit. So it's a done deal. It's a past completed action. It's not something you do. It's not something I do. It's something God does at the moment that we believe in Christ, that we place our faith in Jesus. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the question. What does that mean? What does it mean to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? And in order to understand this, we have to look at what this word sealed is used for in Scripture and then also in the culture at Ephesus. There's a grammatical gap we have to bridge and a cultural gap we have to bridge to understand what Paul was trying to communicate when he said, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And seals in this culture at Ephesus, to put a seal on something, it was used for multiple purposes. And I think when we understand this, it will enlighten what Paul means to the people of Ephesus and to us when he says, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit in the moment that we place our faith in Christ. So number one, what does it mean to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? Number one, a seal at that time, and for us, what the Holy Spirit does, is a bond of security. Number one, it's a bond of security. Setting a seal on something at this time in this culture in Ephesus, it was commonly used to prevent someone from opening or stealing or taking something of value. It was commonly placed on somebody's will. They would seal up their will with wax and place a seal on it. It's like a piece of mail, right? If this wax seal was broken, you would know that it could have been tampered with. They also did this on people's graves. They would seal people's graves so that people would not tamper with the bodies. We actually see this in Daniel chapter 6, verse 17. It says, a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. The king placed his seal on the tomb so that it would not be tampered with. Also, we see the exact same thing with Jesus. It's interesting in Matthew chapter 7, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they knew that Jesus said that he claimed at least that he would raise from the dead. And they were a little bit paranoid, that they were a little bit worried that maybe that actually would happen. But they also thought that the rulers of that day, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they thought, well, maybe the disciples are going to come and try and steal the body of Jesus from his tomb to make it look like he actually did raise from the dead to continue on this hoax, which is what they believed it was. And so the Pharisees of that day, they went to Pilate and they said, hey, we need to do something to make sure the body of Jesus is secure. We believe the disciples are going to come and try and steal it. And so it says in Matthew 7, verse 65 and 66, Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. So they guarded the tomb of Jesus with a troop of guards. They also sealed the stone. Again, same word here, sealed. To seal a tomb, to seal a stone, what this looked like in that day, the sealing of a tomb was done by connecting a cord of wax from the stone to the tomb itself so that if the stone was moved away, that cord of wax would break and you would know someone actually went in there and tampered with the body. So again, the sealing of a tomb was done for security purposes so that a body would not be taken, so that you knew if something was messed around with, that you would be able to easily detect it from the seal, the cord of wax that had been broken. And so it's interesting, actually, the extent that the chief priests and Pharisees went to guard the body of Jesus actually adds to the evidence of his resurrection. It actually was used to validate his resurrection, which is incredible. So this is what a seal was used for at this time. It was used for security. It was used so that you would know that this document is authentic. And ultimately, when Paul here says, when we place our faith in Jesus, we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, what he's saying is the Holy Spirit is the source of security for our salvation. Again, look at verse 13, the context. He says, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So he says the Holy Spirit who comes and seals us, he's saying we can be secure and know that our salvation in Christ, our faith in Christ is secure. There's nothing anyone can do to tamper with it. There's nothing you can do to lose it. The Holy Spirit was given to you so that you would know your salvation and your inheritance in Christ is secure. It's a done deal. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing anyone can do to rob you of that or to take that from you. And this is so important to understand, especially for younger people, because I remember as a younger person, I guess I still am young, but in my earlier years, I remember wrestling with the idea and thinking at multiple seasons of life that maybe I had lost my salvation because of these sinful habits in my life, because of the lifestyle I was living that I knew was contrary to the gospel, that I knew was things that God didn't want for me. But I thought that in my head, maybe my salvation was compromised. I thought maybe because of these sins that I'm struggling with, I'm not actually a Christian. I'm no longer saved. But what Paul is saying here is the Holy Spirit has sealed us. The salvation that Jesus has given to us is sealed. It's a finished work. It's secure because of what Christ has done. Jesus said in John 10, verse 28 through 29, he said, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So the seal of the Holy Spirit, number one, it's the source of security and the assurance of our salvation, that we can know the moment we placed our faith in Christ that he, Jesus Christ, through the sealing of the Holy Spirit, will bring us to the day of perfection, will bring us and see us through all the way until the end. There's nothing you could do to earn God's love, and there's nothing that you can do that will take away God's love. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, meaning your salvation, your inheritance, all that Christ accomplished for you, it's a done deal. And so I want to encourage people here today who maybe have felt or feel currently like, man, I have been wrestling with the idea and struggling with like, am I actually saved? Have I lost my salvation because of these things? You have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the seal, which means he is the source of security for the salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Amen? So number one, a seal was a bond of security. The Holy Spirit secures our salvation. Number two, what was a seal at this time? What is it used for in the context of Scripture? Number two, a seal is a mark of ownership or identification. Again, number two, it's a mark of ownership or identification. So Ephesus, Paul's writing this book of Ephesians to the church of Ephesus, it was a port city. And people would come from all over Asia Minor, They would purchase lumber. And when they would purchase that lumber, they would float it down the river and down the canal to Ephesus. But before they floated it down the river, they would put a seal on the logs that they bought, kind of like a stamp or a branding. They would place their seal on the lumber so that in Ephesus, a port city, all these huge logs, all this lumber would be coming down into the city. And when people would go to pick up their logs, they would know, oh, this belongs to him. This one belongs to her. This is his because of the seal that they placed on the logs as they floated down the river. Also common at this time, cattle, livestock, other valuable possessions, people would place their seal on it. They would brand it so that you know, oh, that's his cow. If there was a dispute, bro, that's my horse. It'd be like, no, it's not. Look, the seal's right there. They would brand it. And so sealing at this time, it was used again to mark, to identify ownership. This belongs to me. I purchased this wood. I've purchased that cow, whatever. And now I've sealed it. That shows that it is mine. And so when Paul writes to the church of Ephesus that you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, we at first might not know what that means because there's a cultural gap. But to the original audience, they would have understood exactly what he was talking about. Anything that they owned that was of any importance to them, they would seal it. They would put a brand on it saying, this is mine, and I identify with this. And so ultimately, when Paul is saying, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, the moment you place your faith in Jesus, he has sealed you. It means, number one, you now belong to him. You now belong to God. Our life is no longer our own. He has sealed us. Our life now belongs to him. And also identification. I am now identified by Christ. My identity is now in him. He has placed his Holy Spirit as a seal to show that I am a true child of God. And again, this takes place the moment you place your faith in Jesus. He gives you a brand new identity. You are now a child of God. How do I know that? The seal of the Holy Spirit. He's given you his Holy Spirit saying, you now are mine. Jesus now identifies with us. He sends his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. We now have a brand new identity and our life is no longer our own, which sometimes isn't something that we really like to hear, something that maybe makes us a little bit uncomfortable, but this is what it meant. The fact that God gives us his Holy Spirit means our life now belongs to him. Every aspect, every facet of it, our life's no longer our own. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is a word that we need to hear today. This is a word where we're living in an age of selfism, where everybody thinks my life's about me, my purpose is about me. Ultimate fulfillment comes from looking to myself. And Paul says, no. He says, your life is not your own. He says, your life does not belong to you. Your ultimate source of fulfillment in life is not going to come to looking within. What are my deepest desires? We were bought with a price and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit and your life now belongs to him, which is a beautiful thing. We've been redeemed. We've been purchased. We only have been sealed with the Spirit because of the fact that God purchased us as the Son. God the Father sent his Son to purchase us so that we could be sealed with the Holy Spirit. The purchase had to be made before the sealing was done. And a lot of times we want to skip that. We want to leave that out. We want the seal, but we don't want the sacrifice. And Jesus is saying, you have been purchased. God sent his own Son, gave his own life to seal you, to give us this source of security, to give us a brand new identity, to take ownership of our lives. Jesus had to purchase us before he sent the Holy Spirit. And this is something that we just need to hear. This is a truth that we just need to meditate upon, that God sent his own Son to purchase us, to redeem us, to pay the penalty for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And the fact that we know he has done that, the fact that we know that he has redeemed us, that he has purchased us, is the seal. He's sealed us with the Holy Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit, who is a bond of security, and it's our new identity. My life is no longer my own. It does not belong to myself. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and my life now belongs to God. So what does that look like? What does it look like to live a life that no longer is just about you and everything that you want and everything that you think makes you comfortable? What does it look like to live a life that we understand it's not my own? I have the Holy Spirit of God himself dwelling inside of me. Jesus Christ gave his life to purchase me. He sacrificed everything for me. And now this is what we do in return, the exact same thing. We present our bodies, we present our lives as a living sacrifice. We say, God, my life isn't my own. I don't want to do what I used to want to do. I want to live for your glory. I want to live to further your kingdom. And that's something we have to pray every single day. That's something we have to intentionally and proactively focus our minds on, saying, I'm not here for myself. I'm here for God, because he sent his own Son who redeemed me and sent his Holy Spirit to secure me. And ultimately, he sealed me by the Holy Spirit. So number one, the Spirit who sealed us, it's a bond of security. Our salvation is secure. Number two, it's a mark of identification and belonging. We now belong to Jesus Christ because of the Holy Spirit who he's given to me. Number three, what did it mean that he sealed us, that the Holy Spirit has sealed us? What did it mean to place a seal in this time, at this culture? Number three, a seal was also the mark of a finished transaction. Again, to seal something meant it's a done deal. It's a finished transaction. Business transfers, business transactions, we're sealed, we're stamped, almost like today we do a signature, right? You give a signature sealing the deal. I've transferred the title. I've sold the car. I've sold the house. We do a signature. Back then, it was a seal. They would pour hot wax and they would place their own unique seal to say, this transaction's done. I've completely given this away. Also, Ephesus was a part of the Roman Empire at this time. And when a Roman citizen was convicted of a crime, when they would put him into prison, they would actually place what was called a certificate of debt on the outside of his jail cell, listing all the crimes that he was guilty of at that time, and it would be nailed to the door of the cell. If you committed a crime at this time in Ephesus, a part of the Roman Empire that was deserving of death, they would crucify you, and when they hung you on a cross because of your crimes, they would do the same thing. They would place what was called a certificate of debt above your cross where they crucified you so that everybody walking by could see what you were guilty of, could see what you had done that was deserving of death. Now, if you were in prison, and again, you had the certificate of debt hanging up on your door cell, you were guilty of it, after you had paid your full sentence, whether it was 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, once you had paid your full sentence for the crimes that you had committed, when you were getting out of prison, they would place what was called a seal on your certificate of debt. The legal authorities would stamp it saying that you have paid off all of the crimes that you were guilty of. It is a done transaction. It has been paid in full. It would be stamped on your certificate of debt so that you couldn't be held accountable for those anymore, so that you wouldn't have to pay the punishment again for something you already paid it for. And it's interesting, the seal that they stamped on the certificate of debt, the word in the Greek language which they would stamp on that seal on it saying, this is a done transaction, this person is paid for all his crimes, was the word tetelestai, which you may be making a connection in your mind already. In John chapter 19, verse 30, as Jesus was hanging on the cross for the sins of humanity, bearing the sins of the world, the last words that Jesus spoke on the cross before he gave up his spirit, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This word finished, it is finished, is the same seal, the same word they would place on the certificate of death. It's tetelestai, meaning it's a completed transaction. It literally means in the Greek language, paid in full. And you want to know what's interesting as well? It says in Colossians 2:14 that Jesus canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. The certificate of debt that you have, that I have, all of our sins that we're guilty of, Jesus took our certificate of debt, all of our sins, it was nailed above his cross. All the sins that we had committed, he took that with him, and in his last breath, after taking the full wrath of the Father for the sins of humanity, he stamped the seal saying, tetelestai. It is finished. It's paid in full. It's a done transaction. It's been completely sealed. So God himself, Jesus, God in the flesh, gave up his own spirit on the cross. It literally says, he says, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Him doing that, him giving up his spirit, having taken our certificate of debt, saying it is finished. He gave up his spirit in order that he might give us his spirit. Had he not taken the certificate of debt, had he not finished the work and paid for our sins to reconcile us to the Father, we could not have the Holy Spirit. We could not have God's presence dwelling in our midst. Our sin had to be dealt with, and Jesus did that. And he said, it's a finished work. He said, tetelestai. He said, it's done, it's paid in full. And now, he says, we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The sealing of the Spirit is a reminder and assurance that all of our sin, past, present, and future, is tetelestai, paid in full. All the guilt, all the judgment, all the shame that we do deserve, it's done away with. It's not a part of our life anymore. Christ took that all. He said, it's paid in full. It's completely done. So the sealing of the Spirit that we have, Again, the moment you place your faith in Jesus, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That is the evidence that your sin has been completely eradicated. We need to be reminded of this because so often when we fall into sin, so often when we choose to rebel, even though we have the Holy Spirit, the enemy can creep in and say, it's not done. You need to do something to make this right. You have to fix this on your own. And we, in our own strength, feel like, what can I do to make my life better? What can I do to try and solve this? Rather than going to the cross, rather than trusting in the sealing of the Holy Spirit, saying, it's finished, it's a done work. And when we realize it's a done work, we can come into the presence of God with boldness. We can come and repent. We can come and confess because we know that's not a part of who we are because Jesus took it. So the Holy Spirit who has sealed us, He is not only our source of security, not only our new mark of identity, He also is the evidence that our sin is done away with. It's a finished transaction, friends. And we have that hope. We have the hope that all of our sin, past, present, and future, has been done away with because we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Fourth and finally, I want to close with this. What does it mean that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit? What is this blessing? What does the fullness of it mean? Number four, the sealing of the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance that we have in Christ. Look again at what Paul says in verse 13. He says, when you believed the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is, the Holy Spirit is, the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. What does this mean, that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance? Well, this word guarantee in the original language, it means down payment. The Holy Spirit is the down payment that we will receive everything Christ has accomplished on our behalf. Now, we often forget or maybe don't even know that salvation has a past, present, and future tense. So the salvation that we have received the moment we placed in Jesus, our faith in Jesus, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit, but that salvation, we only received one part of it in its fullness at the moment we placed our faith in Jesus. Let me just break this down real quick. Justification. The word justification comes up over and over and over in the scriptures. That is a past work. It means the moment we placed our faith in Jesus, we were justified. It means we've been saved from the penalty of sin. That is one tense of salvation. It's a done work. It's in the past, saved from the penalty of sin. Sanctification is always in the present tense, and sanctification is we are being saved from the power of sin, right? Although I'm saved from the penalty of sin, the reality is I still sin, right? Is anyone here perfect? Does anyone live a perfect life? No, we still sin. But sanctification is we are progressively being saved from the power of sin. And third, glorification, always used in the future tense, is when we will be saved from the presence of sin. There is going to be a day where we no longer will sin, where we no longer will have temptation, where we will be glorified with Christ. All of these are salvation. Salvation is past, present, and future. It's justification. We have been justified. Sanctification. We are being sanctified. Glorification. We will be glorified with Jesus one day. And when it says here that we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, our salvation is guaranteed. But you're like, wait, I thought I already am saved. Yes. The penalty of sin has been paid, but you haven't been saved. You haven't been glorified. You haven't been set free from the complete bondage of sin. You still experience temptation on this earth. And so when he says we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, what he's saying is our future glorification, that is a guarantee. Our inheritance, our admittance into the full kingdom of God, where darkness will be done away with, where there will be no more sin, that day is coming. And the fact that we have the Holy Spirit who has sealed us, that is the guarantee that we have an eternal inheritance. The mark of the Holy Spirit in our lives, he assures us of the salvation that God not only has accomplished, but fully will accomplish as well. Listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You guys, we so often try to find our hope and place our hope and find security in these things of this world. And time again, we find ourselves empty. We find ourselves unsatisfied. And Jesus says, I have something better. Jesus says, through me, in me, through me giving you the Holy Spirit, there is a secure salvation. There is an eternal inheritance that I have reserved for you in heaven, for those who Christ has kept, for those who have placed their faith in Christ. And that is our hope, you guys. Our hope is not in the here and now. Our hope is not to have a perfect life here and now. We're living in a broken world. We're living in a world where people still sin, where people are broken, where sin runs rampant, where death is a reality, right? But that's not our hope. Our hope is in the inheritance that Christ has reserved for us. And it's sealed by the person of the Holy Spirit. Today, my hope is that you would leave here understanding the fullness of what Christ has accomplished for you. When he gave you his Holy Spirit, you would understand your salvation is secure. You would understand your life is no longer your own. You have a brand new identity in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a finished work. It's a done transaction. He's placed that stamp on your life, and we have an eternal inheritance which Jesus has reserved for us. Our future glorification is indeed a guarantee because of the seal of the Holy Spirit that God has placed in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for sending your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the work that you accomplished on the cross in order to enable the Father to be able to send the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you had to give your life. Thank you that you did give your life, that you purchased us so that we could be sealed in you, so that Holy Spirit, we could be sealed by you. And we just thank you for the promises that we have in you. We thank you for the guarantee that we have in you. We thank you that it's a done work. We thank you that it's finished, that you said, te telestai, that all of our debt, the record of debt we owed, it's done, it's finished, it's paid. And Holy Spirit, I pray you would assure people of that today. I pray that you would show people the truth, that you would speak the truth into people's hearts, saying through faith in Jesus, through placing your faith in the finished work of Jesus, we can have an assurance that's more sure than anything in this world, that's more sure than anything on this earth that we place our hope in. Our hope is in you, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, minister to people today. Assure us of the salvation that we have. Speak hope into people's lives who are broken. Speak life into people's hearts who are feeling death. Continue to work, continue to move, continue to speak. And so Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence here. We invite you to show up and to do what it is you want to do. And we just look forward to that day that salvation is a full, complete, finished work, that we're glorified in the future with you, that there is no more sanctification, that there is no more sin that we struggle with and wrestle with. We look forward to the day that we're free from all of that. And Holy Spirit, you're the source of security for that. So we trust in you, and we wait for you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey, I want to take a few minutes just to wait. And just to allow the Spirit to speak over you, maybe something he was speaking through the word. Maybe it's something new that he wants to show you. Maybe it's something he has been showing you, but we believe in the Holy Spirit here, and we believe that he moves and that he speaks. We believe he's a person. And so we want to take just a few minutes to just listen for the Holy Spirit, to what it is he might want to say to you, to what it is that he wants to do. So wherever you're at right now, in regards to your walk with God, whether you believe in him or not, you're welcome here, but let's wait and let's listen and allow God to speak into you what he wants to say and what it is he wants to do. So we're just going to take a couple minutes of just listening to whatever it is the Spirit might want to say. The first thing that just kind of came to mind that the Lord just kind of gave me that I want to speak over to the people here. I saw a kind of a vision, I guess, of a It's the next generation. It's the young generation who the Holy Spirit was speaking to, and he was calling them to speak, to prophesy, but they were not recognizing that it was the voice of the Spirit. They were questioning that. And he was saying, I'm raising up a generation of prophets. I'm raising up this next generation to proclaim the truth. And so if you're in here, and maybe it's because this is the first time you're actually encountering and hearing from the Holy Spirit, that's why you're questioning it. You're like, is this him? Is this really the Holy Spirit speaking to me? It is. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you and wants to speak through you. And so I want to speak that over you guys. If you've been feeling like you're hearing the voice of the Spirit, but not knowing if that's him, it is. And he wants to assure you of that. So I want to just speak that over us. I think that that's it. I think that's what the Spirit wanted to say to us. He confirmed it through multiple people. Worry and striving, he wants us to surrender that. And I'm guessing because the Spirit showed that to so many people, there's a lot of us in here who are wrestling with that, who are striving, who are worried. Maybe it's like what Nick said, what I was saying. You've been wrestling with the idea of like, do I have to keep striving to earn God's love? And he wants today to free you from that, to free you from your strife, to free you from your worrying. So as we enter into a time of worship and communion, I want you guys, if you're in that boat, if you're like, that's me, the Spirit is speaking to you. He wants to free you of that worry. He wants to free you of that strife. He wants to bring you into a full, secure place of his love. As you go and take communion, remember his body and remember his blood that was poured out, not just for your sins, but so that we could let go of strife, so that we could let go of worry, so that we could put that aside. So I want to come to the tables today and just say, God, we're going to give that to you. We're going to surrender that to you. If you need prayer for that, we're going to have some leaders up at the front afterwards. We'd love to pray over you. So yeah, we're going to enter into a time of worship. Blake and Joey can take it away, and let's surrender. If the Spirit put that on your heart, just give that over to him today. Amen.